Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, and welcome to episode 59 of Her, the podcast all about women, where we share the naked truth about her mind, her body, and her life. Oh boy, today we're going to go outside. That's right, we're going to get a nature fix, get higher than a kite. But before we do that, I just want you to know that this episode of Her is made possible by our wonderful friends at Smarty Pants Women's Complete Vitamins. They're delicious once-a-day gummies that contain the complete vitamin, mineral, folate, and omega mix customized for women. Trust me, you won't forget to take them because they taste so great. To learn more, please hop on over to SmartyPantsVitamins.com. And just a quick reminder that we want you to leave a rating and a review on iTunes after our episode. We read these, love to hear from you, and take that feedback and run with it. So come on, we welcome your thoughts. All right, it's time for Her.
Her. The podcast.
The naked truth about women.
Her mind.
Her body.
Her life. It's all about her.
Oh boy, this is one of my most favorite topics. I couldn't even wait for this. I was like falling out of my skin on this one. It's all about going outside. Going outside? What? Well, there's a new book out. It's called The Nature Fix. Why Nature Makes Us Happier, Healthier, and More Creative. I kind of call that a KGO, a keen grasp of the obvious. I mean, when's the last time you took a walk in the park and said, you know, that was the worst experience of my life? Now, come on. We're talking about being outdoors, and you know that that's what I'm all about, so I couldn't even wait for this segment. And, oh boy, do we have a special expert. Florence Williams is the author of The Nature Fix. And oh, what a background. She's a journalist and contributing editor to one of my favorite magazines, Outside Magazine. Her work has appeared in the New York Times, New York Times Magazine, and National Geographic, among others. Her first book, Breasts, A Natural and Unnatural History, was a New York Times Notable Book of 2012 and the winner of the Los Angeles Times Book Prize in Science and Technology. Oh boy, I just can't even wait to hop into this one. So, Florence, welcome to the Her Podcast.
Thanks, Pam. It's so great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, first of all, what the heck is biophilia? Sounds like a little, it's like, oh my God, I broke out in biophilia. It's all over the place. No, tell everyone out there what the biophilia effect is.
Okay. The biophilia effect was popularized by Harvard biologist E.O. Wilson. And it's the idea that humans are innately connected to nature and that we're hardwired to love other living things. So the biophilia hypothesis is that when we're absent from that, our brains and our bodies and our nervous systems start to respond and we get less happy.
Wow. So it's bio, meaning biology, everything good out there, and philia, meaning we love it, we want it, and there it is nonetheless. So that's a good thing. You know, in the beginning of your book, in the introduction, there was something I just love. May your trails be crooked, winding, lonesome, dangerous, leading to the most amazing view. Ah, a beautiful quote by Edward Abbey. And what a beautiful way to start, you know, this whole adventure into being outdoors. You know, I read some wonderful literature, oh gosh, you know, probably over the last 10 years on eco-psychology and really looking at the research behind cortisol or stress hormone and a simple thing like walking in nature, whether it's a park or wherever, and the profound effect it has on our physiology, the peacefulness, the calm. At the same time, you may be sweating like there's no tomorrow, but you're loving every moment of it. So Florence, why did you write The Nature Fix? It's such a beautiful topic, so timely with all of us, you know, living this urban type of life where we're indoors so much of the day and we're missing something. So is that what you were looking into?
Yeah, that's right. I was really influenced by my own personal experience because I had been fortunate enough. For 2 decades, I lived in these really idyllic mountain communities in the Rocky Mountains. I was connected to nature on this hourly, you know, constant basis. And then my husband took a job in Washington, D.C. And so we had to move from Boulder, Colorado to Washington, D.C. And I felt
Bummer.
Like this kind of cortisol bomb. Is it working?
Oh, yeah. I mean, what you found was that going from something as bucolic as the nature of the Rockies, and all of a sudden, boom, here you are in urban insanity with commutes that last forever and indoor everything. Oh, it must have been really tough for you.
It was. I mean, it was this radical change in my habitat. And so I felt like this sort of cortisol bomb went off in my own brain, you know, where I was feeling more anxious. I wasn't sleeping so well. You know, the traffic circles were literally making me cry, you know, in the middle of the day. And so I started just to think more deeply about how our environments really reflect what's going on in our emotional and psychological state.
Well, you know, there's a lot of great science now that really shows us that this is important to be able to integrate into our lives, but fewer and fewer people do that. Their idea of getting out in nature is walking a block away to the next building, right? So
yeah, absolutely.
What are they actually missing? What's going on with this? What's this nature fix that you talk about?
Well, I think you raise a good point, which is that, you know, we're so profoundly disconnected from nature in our urban lives, you know, much more so than any other generation before us. And we don't really think about it. You know, we don't really think about that incredible change and what it might be doing to us. But researchers are now starting to think about it, I think partly because, you know, there's this anxiety about how hyper-connected we are to technology. And people are starting to see these kind of chronic health effects of being indoors so much. So problems like even nearsightedness, which is related to time spent away from the sun, believe it or not, because our eyes, our retinas need vitamin D. Things like obesity, conditions like depression, you know, diabetes. A lot of these are related to the fact that we just like sit inside all day and we're not moving our bodies and we're not getting outside. We're not engaging our senses. And often we're sort of isolated, you know, on top of that.
Yeah. And you know something, you point out some really important issues that, you know, I'm a fellow of the American College of Sports Medicine, and we really are all about redoing urban design so that the ability to be able to get out there and actually access the outdoors in an easy way, in an inviting way, so that people feel like, yeah, I want to be out here. You know, in Washington, D.C., we have the mall. It's very pretty. You know, we can go out there and walk forever, run over to the Smithsonian, see the big museums. That's all fun. Actually, one of the reasons why Washington, D.C. in general was found to be one of the fittest cities is because we have so much access to walking, you know, with all of these great monuments and all the rest of it. But most cities don't have that. And so you make an argument that if you're going to make this work, then let's sit down with policymakers and urban designers and let's do this better. Is that kind of where you're coming from?
Yeah, that's so true. I mean, I realized that I had been very privileged, you know, living in my idyllic Rocky Mountain setting. And that, you know, wealthier people are, you know, they always have access to nature. You know, their kids go to nice summer camps. They belong to golf courses. They have houses on the beaches. But if we really recognize that nature is fundamentally essential to human health and well-being, you know, we have to think about how to make it accessible and available to everyone. And that means really making it available in cities. So we do need to think about, you know, how to design our neighborhoods, our schools, our institutions, so that they integrate nature, and then how we encourage policies, like even recess, you know, a very basic one, to get kids running around outside. In Washington, D.C., where I live, only 10% of school kids actually get recommended amounts of recess, which is just ridiculous because we know that it increases attention. We know that it helps them sit still later on during the day. And we know that kids need this kind of, you know, free exploratory play in order for their brain development to even occur appropriately.
Yeah, I mean, there's no question about it. And, you know, to be able to just get out and unplug. These kids are really getting hammered with a lot of schoolwork and they have to be very hyper-focused and stay on top of it. They're competing. They've got to be able to meet the challenges of learning, which are really tough. It's all tough work. So getting out in recess is where it's at. I don't know what it was like when you were growing up, but honey, I had recess. I couldn't,
yeah,
I just,
totally.
I lived for recess. Oh my gosh. I mean, you run around the place and you terrorize, you know, the outdoors and have a wonderful time. I mean, if you ever wanted to find me, I was hanging upside down from a tree. If I hadn't already fallen in a mud hole somewhere. To me, the outdoors is my home. You know, it really is.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's a place where I've always gone.
And I think a lot of people, our generation,
You know?
I think a lot of people our generation feel that way, which is why it's so shocking, you know, how few kids actually get outside today. I think there's a survey that says something like 29% of kids get outside every day, which is, you know, a huge change in just one generation.
That's just insane. I can't even imagine that. I mean, but then again, you know, when you think about it too, Florence, look at the way people live today. They live in fear. So when I came home from school, you know, my friends and my siblings and I would just go out and just, you know, have a party in the neighborhood. I mean, we'd be all over the place because the parents were mostly around and they were able to kind of, you know, monitor what was going on. And we felt like we were in a safe place. Today, forget about it. It's not happening. What you have is fear.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, you have the latchkey
kids. That's right.
I mean,
when we were...
You know, they... Yeah, go ahead.
When we were kids, you know, all the kids were outside together in this big posse. And so
yes,
it was
yes.
safer because there was safety in numbers.
Yeah.
Now, when I moved to my neighborhood in Washington, D.C., you know, when we got here, it was like a moonscape. I mean, there were no kids outside. The kids were all, you know, in violin lessons or at soccer practice or inside, you know, playing video games. It's just a totally different shift.
Yeah. I mean, it's really weird. And also there's fear. And the fear is that, you know, someone will abduct the kid or something terrible will happen. And so you've got a lot of people who just, you know, kind of plug them into every single other thing, you know. Now, in sports, you're outdoors. Not all sports, but in a lot of sports, you're outdoors. So that certainly helps. But guess what? That after a while, especially after school, costs money. Is not available to all kids for a lot of different reasons. And again, the sports that were played during recess aren't there anymore because recesses aren't there. So, you know, we're robbing people of nature. Nature is ridiculously healing. It's also an extraordinary thing I have personally found to go into a national park and to be humbled by the fact that you're just a piece of the action. You don't rule this. You don't control this. You're a piece of the action. You're an integral piece of this web of life. And it really kind of blows your mind when you absorb it. Isn't that what you feel too?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you've hit on a really good point, which is that's part of why it's so psychologically helpful and emotionally comforting to be outside, because it draws us out of ourselves and out of our problems. You know, our attention becomes immediately distracted by, you know, the duck landing in the water, or the great blue heron, you know, flying above us, or even just an incredible blossom on a tree. Our attention is being drawn away, and that very action interrupts, you know, the cycle of kind of negative thoughts that often we are experiencing, you know, in our everyday lives. And so it really helps us relax. It helps us unwind. And it's just incredibly important to our sense of recovery from daily life.
You know, I've been looking, you know, I've referred a boatload of people now to your wonderful book here because, you know, it explains so much about both the science and the backstory on this, and from where we've come, and all the rest of it. And you know, I started coming up with a little bit of an idea, and you definitely do, and that is that, you know, for people who really haven't had that much of an acquaintance with nature and are a little bit, you know, maybe intimidated by it, just take it in small steps, literally small steps. Get out in your neighborhood, okay? See if you can, you know, farm out a park somewhere along the line, or anything that's got maybe a tree-lined street or whatever it may be. Then graduate eventually to like a real park and make an appointment, you know, to grab a buddy, your dog, whomever, all of the above, and then just dedicate like a really good hour to enjoying a wonderful walk and a hike out there. And then one day treat yourself to going away and really getting lost in a national forest, for instance. I'm a total national forest-aholic, by the way.
Me too. I love them.
Oh my God, just give me Zion, you know, give me Bryce. And of course, I've done the Grand Canyon now twice, rim to rim, 26 miles in 2 days.
Wow, good for you. And, that is so beautiful.
Oh, it's the best. Well, you know, I brought the Surgeon General, the sitting Surgeon General at the time, happens to be one of my best friends, Dr. Regina Benjamin. Nice. She's one Surgeon General away right now, down to the canyon with me. I'm always laughing because the first time I did the canyon, I think I saw maybe one or two of those wonderful, you know, forestry types down there, paroling and making sure that everyone is okay, you know, safety wise, et cetera. But, you know, when I took Dr. Benjamin down, suddenly they're hopping out of every tree. They want to make sure that a sitting Surgeon General makes it. You know, the head of the Department of Interior going, you better go down there and make sure she's okay. So they're everywhere.
Yeah, that's a very
so I never felt safer
type.
In my life. Oh my gosh, we had so much fun. But you know, one of the most wonderful things is the fact that cell phones don't work there. Okay, you go to a
that's
national park,
right.
they
that's
just don't
right.
work. You're unplugged.
And the studies,
whether you like it or
yeah,
not.
The studies show that we do have a greater sense of restoration if our cell phones are turned off, and that, you know, if we're on our cell phones, it's almost like not being outside at all because we're so blind to the environment when our attention is turned to our phones. So I think that's an interesting piece
of
research.
No question.
Yeah, that we really just need to actually engage. You know, in order for nature to help us, we need to actually be paying attention to the nature. And so when we're multitasking, unfortunately, it does undo some of the beneficial effects.
Oh, there's no question. And, you know, we have to realize that in so many neighborhoods out there all across the world, not just the United States, but the world, you've got dangerous neighborhoods. You've got places where accessibility to a decent walk and to greenery is zip. And, you know, this is a huge challenge. And, you know, why can't we put together a play yard? Why can't we just have a small green space just as a start? I really am arguing that this is so terribly important, and you definitely do in your marvelous book, The Nature Fix. Now, I'm going to quote something you wrote toward the end. You said, "I'll admit, I'm still struggling to make peace with my own migration to the city. But my mood, along with my habits, are getting better. Since starting this book, I've changed the way I walk around, seeking out the roots with more trees. I go to parks a lot, and I walk in them often. I make my kids come with me. We make an effort to listen to the birds, to look at the fractal patterns in nature, to watch the creeks flowing. I still shake my fists at the plains, but I also enjoy getting on them to go somewhere more wild." I loved that paragraph. It kind of said it all. You know, what were you thinking when you wrote that? You're just sort of trying to come up with maybe a practical balance of all of this?
Yeah, you know, people ask me if there's anything I do differently now. after I've researched the book. And, you know, there certainly are a lot of things that I do differently, even in the city. So I just make more of an effort to get out. I make more of an effort to pay attention. I certainly make an effort to get my kids outside because I've learned how important it is for their future connection to nature. You know, I want them to always be able to find the comfort and delight of nature as they get older. But I also wanted to kind of point to the importance of occasionally going into deeper wilderness, because I think that also profound things happen to our brains when we are really away from it all.
Yeah.
And it's important to recognize that, and that we're so lucky in America, you know, that we have this incredible legacy of wild lands that are protected for all people. And that when we go into those lands, we can really begin to sort of recover from grief, recover from trauma, you know, think about who we are, what our place is in the world. And it's where we can really kind of cultivate our best human selves.
Yeah, I find that I have to get out into nature to be able to regroup, just to be able to once again humbly realize, you know, where I fit with this, with all of this craziness going on out there. That's what I do. And to your point, I think everyone needs to be able to do that kind of, as it were, personal retreat. It's a personal retreat, don't you think?
Absolutely. I just my hope for all people is that they really can do that. I know that where I live, there are more programs now trying to get inner city kids, you know, out into the parks, out into wilderness areas. There are some wonderful programs at nonprofit groups, and even doctors are starting to prescribe time in nature to their patients, which I think is really, really interesting. So I hope
we're
at a turning point now. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, I think we are. I think we're at a very big turning point. You know, with the American College of Sports Medicine, where I'm a fellow, one of the things we have is we have a program, it's a global program called Exercise is Medicine. And what we do is we literally whip out our prescription pads and we tell people, get on out. Just get out there, take a walk, get outdoors, get outside. And then we explain all of the wonderful rewards that wait for them when they do that, you know, in terms of their health, well-being, mental and physical and spiritual. It all comes together. You know, the best way to de-stress, you know, lace up your sneaks and get the heck out. Just do it.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's so important. Doesn't that make sense?
It makes so much sense. And if there's one point I really want to make strongly in the book, it's that we just start to appreciate how much nature actually does help us. Because I think right now, many of us undervalue the benefits of nature. You know, we tend to think, oh, yes, shopping or binging Netflix, you know, those are the things that are going to make us feel good. And they do for a short period of time. But we need to start, I think, paying attention again to how wonderful it feels when we are outside and spend more time outside. So that's the point love to leave people with.
Okay, so with that word of wisdom, everyone, just get outside. Just do it. Lace it up. Go barefoot. I don't care what you do. Just go out. Nature is waiting for you, and it'll be one of the most marvelous experiences ever. Guaranteed. So says Florence Williams, the marvelous author of the book, The Nature Fix, Why Nature Makes Us Happier, Healthier, and More Creative. Her website is florencewilliams.com. Learn more about her marvelous work. Love it, love it, love it. I don't know. I'm just going to lace it up after I talk to you, Florence. I just can't stand it anymore. Got to get outside. Thank you so much for being on the
Her podcast. Thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure.
Marvelous. All right, everyone out there, remember to catch every episode of Her, not just this one, but all of them. Just hit subscribe on iTunes or on our show page at RadioMD.com. And always, always, always take a moment or two and review and rate this podcast on iTunes, because I want to hear from you. Love that feedback, and I read them all. So please take a moment and do that. Leave a review. I'm Dr. Pam Peek. Follow me on Twitter at PamPeekMD. And you could also check out our Her Show page at RadioMD.com for all of our past episodes. Thanks for listening, and stay well.